All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Friday, January 19th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis
from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short here to get you started. Keep winning on FanDuel and or DraftKings NBA. We have optimal lineups for both those sites. We have a member chat room. We have all the things you need to get started for DFS if you are just getting started here with NBA. We cover NFL for one more week as the conference championships, and then baseball coming right around the corner, that hot stove heating up, and then baseball right around the corner.
Oh, my hands on that hot stove.
So DFSR.com/NBA will get you that free for 3 days, and then just $34.95 a month, and you're all good to go. We have a Friday in basketball here, only seven games, so it's smaller for your typical Friday basketball slate because there are a bunch of games on Saturday. I don't know if they're taking Sunday. I haven't looked too far ahead in the schedule to see if they're taking Sunday off because of the football or if they're going to be a reduced schedule there as football kind of winds its way toward the finish. But if your typical Friday in the NBA usually has around 10 games. Tonight, a little bit smaller with only seven, and there is some injury news and notes out there that we're waiting on that we're not going to be able to completely cover here, but we'll kind of cover the if this, then that scenarios with some of these guys as we kind of set ourselves up for cash games and then some tournaments as well. The first game is 7 o'clock. It's the Spurs at Toronto. Toronto's actually -5.5 favorites. And the reason here is the Spurs are now going to be without Kawhi for an extended period of time. I think that the last note that I saw that he has no timetable to return, which is a real bummer whenever guys like this, which is a real bummer when anyone gets hurt, but it's an even bigger bummer when the guys who really matter and are great get hurt. You know, last game when Kawhi was hurt, and he's been hurt for a long time this season, so we have something of a sample size of what the Spurs want to do, and yet it's still kind of hard to trust about what their plan is. So Kyle Anderson gets the start, and it doesn't seem like they're too incentivized to run him out there big minutes. And what do you think about the Spurs here? Is there anything you want to trust in terms of the non-Aldridge camp of guys in terms of minutes, or have they just kind of played rotations too much where you can't really sink your teeth into any of the other guys?
Yeah, I think Anderson was a popular play against Brooklyn, both on the back of the Kawhi news and the fact that it's just Brooklyn. And I think people were, I think, rightfully bullish on everyone's opportunity in that game. And it didn't totally work out. And I think part of the reason is because, you know, when Anderson was a popular DFS punt play earlier this season, he was also getting in there and bringing the ball up the court a lot. Like, they were experimenting with him as a kind of a sort of point guard, even though he doesn't totally have the skill set to be a point guard. But now that Parker's back, and even if Parker doesn't play every single game, I think they're not really incentivized to give him the ball nearly as much. So you see the assist numbers are way down, and he's not a dynamic scorer. I think when he was more actively involved in the offense, he was just getting other little chip stats here and there. And I think that just makes him less attractive overall, especially given the fact that he only played 22 minutes in that Brooklyn game. Doesn't bode well when you compare him to the minutes totals of some of the other starting players on that team. So I think, unfortunately, I mean, it's a combination of not a great situation for Anderson plus the bad matchup here with Toronto, and I wouldn't be excited to play him tonight.
Yeah, I agree. He's a guy that I've wanted to play. I wanted to give him 30, 31 minutes just because of his versatility.
And it's just a chance, Doc. I mean, you've been nothing but totally, totally generous with the guy.
Yeah, there's no more chances for me. So you really can't. Fair. You can't give him 20, more than 25 minutes at this point. And they just, this is what the Spurs do. The Spurs are excellent for this reason. They're a very tough DFS team to get a handle on at times. And it's the same reason that makes them very good, because they stick to their core, which is basically a Gasol, Aldridge, and that's kind of it, really, from the starters. And then they'll play rotations, and they get a lot of these bench guys minutes, and just to try to see what they have. And that's why they seem to always come up with guys that you've never heard of that end up being really good rotation players, because they just kind of do this thing opposite of what some other bad teams do. So, other bad teams play long rotations and just kind of don't have any clue what they're doing. Spurs haven't really been that way. So I think Aldridge, you're still looking at a usage bump for Aldridge. I think you are seeing something of a usage bump and maybe some more minutes for Gasol. And then the matchup isn't really that good. Toronto plays, I mean, one of the best. They have top five or six defense in the whole league. Slower game. I mean, going the other way too with Toronto, I mean, are we wanting to play? San Antonio plays the second best defensive efficiency in the league, and that's without Kawhi for most of the season. So you can only imagine it's going to get better if and when he ends up coming back. Anything to like at all here on the Toronto side, or is it basically this game kind of end up just being a skip because of the matchup?
I think it's a skip because of the matchup. I mean, the one saving grace for this game for big tournament purposes might be that Toronto's a team that can hang with the Spurs, and if you think that this game is just close. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, just kind of weird games on the slate tonight, and a lot of good defenses going, and really only one game where both teams involved have a good matchup. So I think for that reason, in a close game with a team with actual real players, you could maybe get away with something like Lowry or DeRozan for a big tournament. But I think for cash game purposes, just the simple fact that they're up against the Spurs and fairly priced to begin with makes it a non-starter for cash.
Miami goes in and takes on Brooklyn in the 7:30 game. The news here, or at least the early injury news, Tyler Johnson has already been ruled out again. He has a sprained left ankle, so he's not going to play. Last game, when he sat out last game, and we really kind of bumped up Goran Dragic a decent amount, thinking that they were going to run him most of the point guard minutes. It didn't totally work out. He only played 32 minutes last game. I want to be bullish on his minutes again with no TJ, and I get a little bit worried that they just ran Josh Richardson a little bit more at the point guard than I thought they would. They played him 35 minutes and really staggered him and Dragic's rotations. So I have a question for you on Dragic about where we stand about his minutes. And then also the other guy that this is constantly confusing to me is Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside last game played 32 minutes. The game before played 20. The game before that played 25, 28, yes, 30, 26, right. 23, 17. And now the 17, I take that back because I was going to say he was working his way back from injury, except for the 17 game came following a 29-minute game. So this is all to say, where do we stand with Dragic and Whiteside's minutes? As they are the two most viable fantasy options on Miami, and I just don't even – I'm very confused about where to set them in a very good matchup against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think Miami actually has a number of different viable options today, Josh Richardson being not the least among them. I think you can also get away with Wayne Ellington. I mean, the reality is that this is just an excellent matchup from top to bottom. I think you can be rightfully concerned about Dragic's minutes in the last game. I do think in an excellent matchup here with Brooklyn, you'll see him play probably a few more minutes. I suspect that the kind of average use case for him is around 35 minutes. He did have 6 turnovers in that game and was just kind of playing badly, and I think that kind of cut into his minutes overall as well. He was a 55% owned player in cash for that night, and I think you could see that around that number, perhaps even higher tonight. The reality is there's just not a lot of amazing point guard options. There's not a lot of options at any position tonight, but point guard is a particularly sparse one, and I think Dragic is a very, very good cash gameplay.
And what about Whiteside? I mean, like, I have him at 26 minutes right now.
Don't. I don't think he's a must. I think he's, you know, been coming pretty close to paying these prices, even when he does play 25 to 29 minutes. So he's obviously got incredible upside, but you just got to look at what your other options are at center. I think if you can get away with not playing him, like, I would be very, very happy just to prioritize someone else if possible. If I can't, then I guess I could live with it. But I think in the meantime, I'm just going to hope that Marc Gasol just takes a little extra care for himself tonight. And we can get a little bit, one more night of Deontay Davis, even though he wasn't amazing. I just would like that cheap play to not have to play Whiteside, basically.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just so risky when you run Whiteside, because at this point, it's not an injury thing. It's just a rotation thing, and it's just how Miami is going to do things. And if they want to play small, they can always run Olynyk at the 5. They can run Adebayo at the 5. They have other options of guys that they can sort of mix and match into there and not really just have to play Whiteside a ton. I don't know if they're managing him or they just don't like the matchups with him all the time. So it's a very weird situation. I think in the end, like you said, I think we end up probably playing Dragic in cash, at least on FanDuel, until he's not as great of a price on DraftKings. And then probably slotting in at least one or two of these other Miami guys because they have really shortened up their minutes rotations as well. Now, Brooklyn is going to get D'Angelo Russell back tonight. And Spencer Dinwiddie's been a guy that at times has played a lot of point guard minutes. If anyone's like a safe play on Brooklyn, and that's really a relative term, Dinwiddie did strike me as a guy who at least saw his minutes. But now with Russell back, I doubt Russell plays anything more than 15 to 20 minutes tonight. He sat out a long time, so I don't think that he's not going to be a play. He's almost definitely be on a minutes limit. So, but now are we just trending all of the Nets usage and minutes even down a little bit more? Because Russell's a very high usage guy as well. So, I mean, what do we do with this news that he's coming back? How do we trend some of these Nets minutes going forward?
Yeah, I think he takes money right out of Dinwiddie's pocket, frankly. Dinwiddie was not playing really the same number of minutes when Russell was healthier earlier this season, and the usage was down as well. He really came into his own with Russell out of the picture, and I think you can expect him to go back in that same direction. I think the nice thing here is, again, bad matchup with Miami, a slow team, a good defensive team. You probably didn't want to stick your neck out on Dinwiddie anyway tonight, and I think Russell coming back tonight, if the game stays remotely close, I think we get a better sense of what their plan is for Russell in the near term, and then we can reevaluate in future matchups.
Yeah, I stand there too. Brooklyn's already tough. It's tough to give anyone on the team 30 minutes. Like 30 minutes at the most for any of these guys. And that's for the guys that play the most. That's like Carroll and RHJ and guys like this that are the starters and they're probably are, you know, some of their best players. And even those guys struggle to crest over 30 minutes at time. So, it's nice that it's a bad matchup and it'll be interesting to see how they work Russell back in. It's almost easier when guys come on like, not slower, they kind of just jump in back into their full minutes because Russell's only $6,000 and that would be a pretty nice play if you thought that he was going to see anything like close to like 25 minutes. But I just don't think that's going to be the case. 8 o'clock game, Washington goes in and plays Detroit. Washington coming off a pretty big blowout of Charlotte, pretty big blowout loss to Charlotte the other night where they saw most of their starters minutes kind of get buzzed off. But before that, John Wall had played 40 or more minutes in 4 of his last 5 games, and then the only one he missed was a 36-minute game. I mean, are we comfortable setting his minutes, he and Beal's minutes, back up here near 40 in a match? Detroit's not an amazing matchup. They're pretty good on defense this season. They play pretty slow. That's kind of the theme for most of tonight. It's just slow defensive teams.
That's what I mean, man. Bad matchup after bad matchup, for sure.
Right. We're going to be stuck. We're going to be stuck playing some guys against good defenses. Mm-hmm. I think there's just no other way around it. Would you consider the Wiz fitting the bill as one of those teams that we can maybe stomach it against Detroit?
Yeah, I think it's plausible. I do think Beal, even if it hasn't been, and Wall too, even if it hasn't necessarily been reflected in the extreme near term, these are guys whose team has a plan to play them a ton of minutes. They carry such a large percentage of the offensive burden per usage for Washington that I think you can basically totally ignore that Charlotte game as anything remotely reflecting the reality for them. And I think the plan there is to play them 36 to 41 minutes each. And on a night where you're really looking for floor with so many different bad matchups, potential blowouts and so forth, that, they are playable. And unfortunately, I would just assume not play them against Detroit. And Beal in particular, if Avery Bradley is going to play, I know he's a game time decision right now, but if Avery Bradley were to play, that would be somewhat unexciting to run an opposing shooting guard into him. But yeah, I think tonight you're going to have to kiss a few frogs and Beal might be one of them.
Well, it's crazy too, because the pricing tonight is so low. So Wall is the most expensive player on FanDuel at $10,300. That's about as low as I can remember. Yeah, this means all the guys, just basically all the expensive superstars played in the last 2 days, and there's just none of them are playing tonight. So you have Wall at 10-3. Opposite him in this game, you have Drummond at 10-2, Jokic at 10,000. Those are the only guys even over 10,000 on FanDuel. And on DraftKings, there's no players over 10,000. Drummond's the most expensive at 9-9, and then Wall at 9-7. So you're really not paying. There's no one in some ways it's nice because you're not going to be making any big decisions about like, you know, do I really want to overpay for a LeBron here? Do I want to pay for a Giannis? You're overpaying a little bit, but it's not going to be at the expense of just having to run out some maybe terrible plays because you're taking such a smaller hit on your cap. Other Washington guys, you know, Markieff Morris at times can crest up to 30 minutes. Porter's kind of struggled in the short term. Yeah. He's a guy that I like Otto Porter and I like playing him in DFS. I don't know if I just have run really good with his performances in the past and that's why I feel that way or if I just we catch him on the right night. Anything else to like about Washington? And then we can also just move over to Detroit because there's maybe some interesting plays there.
Yeah, I think there probably are. I mean, I think all the Washington guys kind of fall in the same bucket to me. Playable, not super exciting. I think Gortat actually falls into that category too. We've hit on our last two Gortat plays against Orlando and Brooklyn. Obviously going up against Drummond is nothing on the order of that good, but again, on a night again where there's not a lot of great options, those guys are not people I would X out of my cash game lineups if they happen to appear there.
Yeah, it's nice with Gortat that you sometimes can feel a little safer with him if he's going to run up against a center, that they're going to need to keep him on just the floor more. And so that is Gortat. Now, Drummond at times does pull you a little bit away from the rim if he runs those high post sets. So the rebounding numbers can go a little bit the wrong way. But I think
he's a reasonable defender if they can't have Gortat out there. So it's not like I don't think it increases the safety that much. But the fact is that many games, they will only play 37 minutes worth of any credible center. And they're going to need as many minutes as they can against Drummond for sure.
Yeah, fair point. And then you have Drummond going the other way here for Detroit. He's another guy that's been at times tough to get a handle on with his minutes. I want to give him somewhere around 35 minutes. And when he has that kind of run, there's few other players that have the kind of upside that he has. I mean, he has 50, 60 point fantasy upside because of the points and rebounds. His last three games, he played 37 minutes against Toronto, 33, 33, 30 against Brooklyn, and then 38 against New Orleans. That was after he came back from injury. Are we comfortable with him at 35 minutes? Do you think that's like the Detroit plan? And if so, is he a cash game consideration? Because again, there are a few ways to spend up. It feels like you're going to end up spending up for one of those three guys I mentioned. Is Drummond? Do you see Drummond as possibly that guy?
Yeah, I think there's potential for that. Again, not a guy I would X out of my lineups. I think when trying to project Drummond's minutes, it's pretty tricky because what we see are actually very few games where he plays 35 minutes. We see games where things are going really well and he plays like 37 to 38 minutes. And then we see games like against Charlotte where it's not going as well and he can play 33 minutes on you. Or even when it's going well, like against Chicago, and he can score 33 points on you. Play 33 minutes on you. And I think the reason for that is, you know, he's one of these guys, we pointed this out on the podcast in the past, but he can lose minutes in any number of ways. You know, they decide to hack him at the end of games. Now, again, he's better now shooting free throws than he used to be, but that's still a possibility. He can get in foul trouble himself. The game's a blowout or they need long range shooting. And, you know, they decide they just want to, against teams that don't have another opposing center, they just want to stretch it out, maybe play Tobias Harris as a stretch five against another small team. So, or a Jason Smith even. So there are ways Drummond can lose minutes here, and I think Washington's a decent enough matchup here that I think you can play him in cash regardless.
The other guy that I find to be interesting, if unexciting, is Ish Smith. So Ish Smith still running the point guard. He did not, you know, he's not still not playing outsized minutes that maybe we thought it was going to happen with Reggie Jackson, but that really just isn't how Stan Van Gundy runs his teams anyway. Like, a lot of guys just don't. They do manage their minutes a little better. But he's played 31 and 34 in the last couple of games. Obviously, the big game was against Charlotte where he went 19 and 10. That's not going to be the norm for him. But I do think 33 or 34 minutes out of him against John Wall's a good defender, and I'm still, you know, you can still play point guards against Washington. Is Ish Smith at 6,400 on FanDuel, and then I think the price is even better on DraftKings. Yeah, 5,700 on DraftKings. Can we consider him as a cash game play?
Yeah, I suspect he'll be in our DraftKings lineups. I don't know that he'll get there on FanDuel just because of the way the money will shake out there, but he showed up in our DraftKings lineups the last time around, and I think the minutes are correct on him. So, yeah, going up against Washington historically hasn't been a great matchup for opposing point guards. This year, looking a little bit better. Washington in the slight top half of the league in terms of pace. The defensive efficiency has been roughly league average. So I like Ish Smith here. Another interesting thing about Smith from my perspective for a matchup like this is that Gortat can be a fairly good defensive center for point guards who like to drive. But Smith just historically, year after year, regardless of where he's been, has been one of these guys who gets into the lane but then distributes. And I think that he'll do that here and probably have a pretty good game.
Moving into the last 8 o'clock game, we have Sacramento goes in and plays Memphis. So listen to the injury report here. In some of the injury tags we have in some of these Kings guys. All right, we have Zach Randolph, questionable, rest. Kufos, questionable, rest. George Hill.
Okay, well, when the big guy. Oh, there's more. Go ahead, sorry.
George Hill, questionable, rest.
Vince, yeah, that's Carter, a lot of. Oh, more guys.
Okay. Questionable, possible rest. I don't know what the difference between possible rest and the other rest is. But then we have Scal Lavissieri, left shoulder strain. And that's it that's where we stand with the Kings right now. So as of 9:56 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 players on the Kings with possible rest. And then a couple other guys that just
got Garrett Temple too. Garrett Temple's on the, he's probable right now. The other guys are questionable with possible rest. But, I just, you know, they're like, he's going to get in. So these guys are just exhausted is what I'm hearing here. And I'm really glad that the Kings are doing the hard work needed to keep 20 something year old men in their absolute peak of their physical prime just to get a little extra Z's, you know, a little me time. So,
well, what do you even do here? What do we even do with this? And I know you have to do something.
You don't have to play anyone on the Kings. That's something that you definitely do not have to do unless you're trying to just basically buy penny stocks in a big tournament and just to figure out who's actually going to play. You don't actually need to do anything, I don't think.
Well, there are a couple guys. There are a couple guys that do actually play, right? There's Bogdan Bogdanovic. He's played his last four games, 39 minutes, 30, 25, 31, 32. I think you can comfortably set him in somewhere around the 31 minutes because their thing, right? Like, so if you have read this note or have been listening to us, you know that the joke here with the Kings is they've come out and said they're not going to play. They're not going to play any.
They're going to rest a few veterans a night.
That's right. They're going to rest veterans from here and there in a night. Now, sometimes that's going to mean they're going to rest completely, and then you're going to get like George Hill playing like 35 minutes, and then he's just going to sit the next game. But there are a couple, like I said, there are a couple guys out here that do actually play fairly consistently. One of them is obviously Bogdanović. The other one, to some degree, is Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie Cauley-Stein, 37 minutes, 40, 33, and then 23 and 28. So there are a couple guys. I mean, knowing that, would you feel – and these are not the guys that are questionable, right? These aren't the guys that we're wondering on a night-to-night basis if they're going to play or not. Would you feel comfortable giving Bogdanović and Cauley-Stein those are really the only two that that really stand out to me. 31, 32 minutes, and then know that the rest of the guys are going to be just dartboard throws, even if – and that's guessing if you even know if they're going to play or not at come 7 o'clock lineup lock.
Sure. You can give those guys those minutes. Are they going to then be plays against Memphis, do you think?
No, probably not. I'm more talking about just like going forward. I'm fine ignoring him in this particular matchup, and it's fine. I'm more just mean going forward, like, because this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a thing for the rest of the season, right? Like, at least it came out and said it.
Fair. I think, keeping an eye on the types of guys who are in this random rest rotation is probably a good bet. And, I think the FanDuel's actually been pretty savvy with how they price these guys. They have priced the more reliable guys more reliably, more expensively. But that being said, like, you're rolling the dice regardless. Like, you're going to pay $7,200 for a Sacramento center based on three games where he's played 32 minutes, but the game before that where he played 23 and then 28 and 30 and 25. Like, I will probably not be doing that for cash, maybe outside of an extreme matchup. And we have news that other guys are sitting definitively, but I understand the allure. I mean, there's certainly a lot of upside when you're going to rest five of your guys and then the other guys have to pick up the slack.
And on the Memphis side, the news we're going to wait here, as you sort of alluded to before, is Marc Gasol and his illness. Deontay Davis started last game. He was a very popular play. And it just shows you how much the industry has consolidated some around injury news, at least, because that news came out at something like 6:30 Eastern time. And he was 75% play in cash games on both sites. So people were able to pivot into Davis pretty quickly. And that Davis was pretty underwhelming, 24 minutes. And no real reason except for he just played 24 minutes and he's a bench guy that doesn't play a ton already, even with Gasol. 24 minutes out of him. You did see some bench minutes out of Jarrell Martin that they kind of ran him as a big. They did play Jamichael Green a few more minutes, but he still only trended up to 27. Let's say Gasol was out again. Would we feel comfortable going back to Deontay Davis here? The price climbed a little bit, not a ton, but still only 24 minutes, was completely underwhelming on these prices. What are your thoughts here on Memphis and how we sort of redistribute if we knew Gasol was going to be out again?
Yeah, I think the Jarrell Martin minutes were legit. I think he's an actual credible, skilled big man. I think Deontay Davis is more of a bruiser who's going to get in there and, maybe block some shots, get some rebounds, has good points per minute production, normally speaking. And I think both of those guys are fine plays.
Yeah, Jarrell Martin is a guy that can just do a lot of nothing when he stands on the court at times. Like, he was decent last game, 17.6 rebounds, but that decent. Is not.
The guy scored 31 fantasy points. He was $3,500.
Great. I'm saying that he's usually not very good. He's not a very good points per minute fantasy player in general.
You're not a very good points per minute fantasy player in general.
That's pretty good analysis here. keep this up. So I just don't, I'm not, even at like 30 minutes, I'd honestly be pretty unexcited about Jarrell Martin. I could see him getting there.
Be unexcited about him?
I think so. I mean, 40. Yeah, he's just not very good. Like, I get that, and I get that he had a good game last game. In general, on a points per minute basis, I wouldn't turn it away. But he had. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking about him incorrectly. I mean, he probably is a little bit better.
Can disappear on you. There's no question about that. So, I think that much is spot on. This season, he's averaged 3/4 of a fantasy point per minute. If you were to multiply that out over 30 minutes, you'd have 22 fantasy points, which would be great production on 4,300 on a terrible night. So I think on 30 minutes, he'd be a good play. I do think if it were more like 22 to 25 minutes, and I don't think you can just pencil him in for 30 minutes, by the way. So I don't know that you're necessarily just going to get there if Marc Gasol's out. But I just think he's in play. And for big tournaments, like if Deontay Davis is in foul trouble, or if there are things going on, or for whatever reason it's clicking. I mean, the reality is here too, Sacramento's not really running out any credible bigs to oppose these guys in any case. So I just think they're worth keeping on your radar as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Michael Green went off against New York in just 26 minutes.
I was probably a little bit too low on Martin just in general, but maybe I'm just remembering a different iteration of him. The other guy too is Tyreek. Evans got a huge usage bump last game without Gasol. He does get an on-court, off-court bump just in general when Gasol's not on the court, and he took 21 shots.
Don't have to pass to any of these guys anymore. Yes.
I mean, how are we feeling about him? He is sitting up in the upper tier of price plays at this point at 8,800, though. If we were going to see 35, 36 minutes out of him with no Gasol, would he end up maybe creeping up into some cash games?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Sacramento, a team we've pointed out many times, very slow. They don't have any fast guys on the team or talent. And so it's very difficult for them to get the ball up and down the court. So they have a bottom four pace in the league, but the very worst defensive efficiency. And so I think for that reason, you could see a guy like Tyreek just kind of smell blood in the water and just kind of say, get on my back, team. Just take every single shot. Yeah, but this is a game that features two of the bottom five teams in terms of overall pace. So for that reason, use it sparingly, I guess is what I would say.
All right, before we get to the 9 o'clock game, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, let's talk about NoHalftime.com. NoHalftime is going to be perfect for your fantasy football needs this weekend, simply because they don't require you to fill out a whole lineup with guys that you've never heard of at $4,500 wide receivers in a two-game NFL slate. You can just pick one guy you're excited about, pick someone else you think that your guy's going to be better than, issue that challenge to the world. If someone accepts, great, it's game on, winner take all for whatever dollar amount that you put forward. And if not, no biggie, it's refunded to your account. So check out NoHalftime.com, download the app, use promo code DFSR to get a 50% deposit up to $50 on your first overall deposit. And we'll see you on there.
All right. Denver, it plays Phoenix. Phoenix goes into Denver. Denver with one of the higher lines of the night. They're -8.5 over the Suns. The news for the Denver side of the ball here, obviously, is that Jamal Murray is still going to be out. It looks like he's going to be out at least a couple more games. I'm not sure he has a timetable for return because he's in the concussion protocol. Without him, though, we saw, you and I had an Emmanuel Mudiay kind of disagreement going into the last game where Mudiay, we were kind of discussing about the minutes. It ended up being Moody.
You were right on the minutes, but not on the production.
Exactly. That's where it was. He was very good in limited minutes because Will Barton did get the start at point guard. And it looks like that will be their plan kind of going forward here without Murray. We're trying to load up on Denver completely. I mean, they clearly have the best matchup. Phoenix is the fastest team in the league. They play the worst. They play the worst defensive efficiency in the league. They're just, they're
horrible. Like a bottom three defensive efficiency.
Right.
They're one of the worst overall. They're one of the best possible matchups for an opposing offense. And we have minutes opportunity here with Denver. You're going to play as many of these guys as you can fit into your lineup. Probably the tricky thing is going to be deciding which position to leave off. It'll probably wind up being power forward, I would guess. But yeah, terrific matchup on a night where there are just no good matchups. You're going to see a lot of Denver in your optimal lineup, hopefully.
These guys have been price corrected. They're not cheap anymore. Will Barton is $7,700 on FanDuel. That's pretty expensive for him. Gary Harris is up to over $7,000. This is a guy that we were, going back and forth about whether to play him at $5,500, $5,600. He's now up over $7,000.
Oh, not super recently. I think recently it was more like $6,500 where we're going to play him at. But yeah, it's expensive. But you got to pay to play, Doug.
Are we worried right now? Because right now when you run optimal lineups on the site, Denver guys are not, and this is early too, right? So it's not going to, I doubt it sticks like this, but at least on FanDuel, there are no Denver guys in the lineup. There is Will Barton and Jokic are on DraftKings. So I feel a little bit better there. But right now, the first lineup you get with any Denver guys, so lineup three with Barton, and he's not even coming into a ton of them. Are we concerned with that at all? And again, this is going to change because, honestly, just even one piece of the Gasol news with Deontay Davis changes the whole thing. So I'm not making any great proclamations about whether or not this is going to be how it ends up. But it's not like these guys are showing up hot and heavy in the top overall lineups now. Would that have you concerned as we got down to sort of the nitty gritty of lineup lock?
It would, I think. I think with a gun to my head, I'd rather play Barton at 77 than Beal at 78. Just that's just kind of a sight unseen, gut check sort of thing. We have them separated by a point right now, I think, in the system. So, just a little bit of massaging there, I think, could get those guys into the lineup. And then outside of that, I mean, it is just a tricky night in some ways. Like one of the things I was trying to figure out was just where all the extra minutes went last game, because Murray goes out. That's 37 minutes to pass around. Barton didn't exactly play any more minutes. Harris didn't really play any more minutes. So I just want to look at that more closely and just make sure that we are correct on all of those assumptions.
Oh, we're high. We're high in Denver minutes right now because these are where the minutes went. They went 15 minutes to Mudiay, so that made up some of it. They went 10 minutes to Beasley, so that made up another five because I think we had him at five. And then they play Richard Jefferson 15, and that's a 15 out of nowhere.
I didn't have picked up on.
Yep. Exactly. So the Richard Jefferson 15, he goes from zero to 15.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to play all small forwards, and that's going to be the whole team. Just everyone out there is 6'6", 6'7", and we're just going to see what happens.
But this is the problem, right? So this is where these minutes go. It's not like they played. Okay. I guess Plumlee played a few more minutes too. Plumlee played 31. I take that back. So Plumlee was a big gainer in minutes too. I'm not sure I totally trust
when you
that.
Lose your fast point guard, excellent shooter, you just bring in your tall, sort of not athletic white center and just give him some of the minutes.
I saw a tweet the other day and I can't remember who tweeted. I'm always so bad about remembering these things, but it was something about the net rating of when Jokic and Plumlee play together and it's like somewhere in the negatives, and then the net rating with Jokic and Lyles play together and it's like way into the positives. And for some reason, they just don't want to do that on a game to game basis. And they just keep running Plumlee out there over and over and over again. When it clearly looks like from all the numbers that it should be just Lyles and Jokic basically just starting, and Plumlee should just really not hit the court all that often at all. And yet we get 31 minutes out of him. So the minutes redistribution for Denver did not go exactly as we thought when we see Jamal Murray get out there. And we'll take a look at that as the day goes on. And I don't know, these guys may have been price corrected to the point where it might be a tougher decision than you think, considering they're facing Phoenix. Indiana goes in and plays the Lakers. No line on this game. I'm not exactly sure why Indiana is coming on the back-to-back. So I don't, but there's no real news that they would rest anybody. And then on the Lakers side, Lonzo Ball has already been ruled out of the game. So it's not like we're waiting on any news there. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has also been already ruled out. So I'm not exactly sure what news would warrant waiting to have a line in this game. But yet here we are in what could be a really good fantasy matchup. Let's start with Indiana. They're coming on the back-to-back. They're still going to be without Miles Turner. Guys like Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis is a guy that we've wanted to play in the past here, even up to last night. He drew somewhat of a tougher matchup against Nurkic last night. That's not going to be the case here against the Lakers. Could the Pacers be a team we maybe pivot away from Denver a little bit just because of the matchup they're getting?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good value here. I mean, I think Oladipo probably right now the most attractive pay-up option today. I know that he's a little bit expensive at the $9,300 price tag and hasn't exactly been doing it in spades recently, but you know, this will be a significantly better matchup than he's had recently as well. Phoenix was the last really good matchup he had. He only played 21 minutes again, but did score 35 fantasy points. I think he does thrive in that kind of up and down sort of game here. The minutes are finally back after the injury, so I think Oladipo is a phenomenal play. I think Sabonis is another guy really benefiting from the absence of Miles Turner. I think the real plan for him in an average game is to play 30 to 33 minutes, and he's probably priced like a guy who's going to play 27 to 30 minutes. So I think we get a little bit of value there, combine it with a good matchup, and you have another really good play. So yeah, a lot of good plays in this game too. That this is not a game I was considering because I hadn't pressed calculate just yet, but the existence of this game probably means that there are a few extra guys to sprinkle into the mix at some competitive positions now, the same spots where you're going to have to consider guys like Barton and Trey Lyles, guys like that. So yeah, I like these guys.
Yeah, I like the idea, like I said, a lot of probably the posting together a Barton and Oladipo sort of lineup together in cash. This feels like it has a pretty high floor, at least on FanDuel at shooting guard. Thad Young did play a lot of minutes last night. He can kind of go up and down. He's not all that good of a basketball player, but he does pile it on a fantasy at times, especially if he can just get the rebounding going. And I think the rebounding for him does actually tick up a little bit with Miles Turner off the court, as Sabonis plays a little bit more away from the basket than Turner does. So Young sees with Turner off the court, Young sees a usage and rebounding upgrade. And actually, and that's not across the board for this team. Like Oladipo's rebounding numbers actually go down with Turner off the court. The sample sizes on these are small. Everyone's usage goes up, except for the rebounding for a lot of guys goes down, except it's consolidated to just a couple of guys like Young and Sabonis.
It makes sense on Young and Sabonis too, for that matter. Like both of those guys can flex out to the perimeter, but the absence of Turner would incentivize them to want to crash the boards more often. So that sounds legit with Young for sure. Young also, he's another guy whose minutes have been all over the place this season, but if you think the true value on him is like 35 to 37 minutes, which is what he's been playing recently, he looks like a pretty darn attractive play.
And then in the Lakers side, they're without basically their whole backcourt right now in Ball, or at least their starting backcourt in Lonzo Ball and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. When this has happened in the past, we did see one game where Tyler Ennis and Josh Hart played a ton of minutes. It was the overtime game against Houston. Then the next game, they came right back out with the same starting lineup, and Walton pulled all the starters at the 5-minute mark, and then all the bench guys played basically a ton of minutes. And now we've seen a couple games where at least Lonzo has sat and Ennis has gotten the start and really just not seen anything in the way of minutes. Now, again, when they're going to be without the shooting guard as well in Caldwell Pope, I feel like this should be opening up opportunity for us in terms of just like redistributing some of the minutes. And it just doesn't look, I'm just not seeing it, right? Because like last game, Ennis played 20 minutes and then they played, I don't know, let's look down. They played Josh Hart 26 off the bench. I mean, Hart could be in line for 31 to 33. They played Clarkson 21 minutes. I just don't really know. It's very difficult for me to figure out what's going on here.
Well, you can't figure out because they can't figure it out. That's the issue right now, right? Like in the past, we saw Jordan Clarkson be the primary beneficiary here. Now he's just kind of out of favor. We saw Alex Caruso randomly show up and play 13 and then 16 minutes in the last two games. And I think he took a lot of that those extra table scraps. Didn't do anything with those minutes, by the way, but just taking up some of those backcourt table scraps, and that's going to make it so you can't really trust any of these punt plays, I don't think.
Yeah, it's tough because this is a matchup. Indiana is not all that good of a defensive team.
Like it for sure.
Yeah, you'd love to play some of these guys. You'd love to know that Ennis was just going to play 30 minutes, and I just don't think that's going to be the truth. The guys you can trust to play here, you can trust Ingram, I think, in the mid-30s, I suspect at least. You can trust him. I think you can probably roll out maybe Julius Randle. And after that, it's just hard with this Lakers team. They're just young. We have another season of they're young and they just don't really want to play their starters all that many minutes because they're just not all that incentivized to win. Final game is the Knicks go in and play the Jazz. Jazz are -5 favorites. No real injury news here except that Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be back this game. So he'll go out there and play. Jarebko is questionable. Oh, I take that back. Rudy Gobert is probable. Oh, so that actually does change things. So Rudy Gobert is probable to play tonight. It's hard to expect him to play many minutes as he works his way back from injury, but if we're going to slot Gobert back in, are we just kind of done with the Derek Favors experiment? where do we what does this do maybe to the Jazz? I mean, even like a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who's had tons of usage, I know Gobert is not a huge usage guy, so he doesn't probably cut into a lot of shots. But how do you think the return of Gobert affects maybe some of the minutes redistribution on the Jazz?
Yeah, I mean, I think you immediately take the bigs off the table. They were already sort of speculative, even in Gobert's absence. And so obviously guys like Jarebko, I think even Favors, you know, my suspicion is that the long-term plan is to play him alongside Gobert for about the minutes he's been playing recently. But we haven't seen evidence of that, at least this season, or even towards the end of last year, too. So I think you could see Favors' minutes dip back down in that 27 to 30 range, at least as a possibility, right? And I think it's prudent to just take a wait-and-see approach here. And outside of those positions, you know, the Jazz don't tend to offer a lot that's very, very exciting. I mean, Inglis plays minutes from time to time. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Just kind of like a random plug-in guy that you put into a late slate or something. I think Mitchell probably is slightly overpriced in general right now. And the reemergence of Gobert, I think, adds enough. It reintroduces enough of a... He's just a big presence down there, right? Totally unlike anything else they've had down there. So I think that it's just enough to say, why don't we just take a breather here? Plenty of other options at the positions that we would consider here anyway. So let's look at those and kind of reevaluate Utah going forward.
Yeah, it's a shame too, because the Knicks are a pretty good DFS matchup because they're just not all that good on defense. Yeah. And the Jazz just are one of these weird teams. Although, like I said, it will clear up at least some of their starting lineup considerations that they've been going back and forth. Like they had started Cephalosha and then he got hurt and they started Jarebko and kind of play him no minutes. It was always kind of tough to figure out what they were doing with the four spot on this team without Gobert. That doesn't look like it's going to be a problem anymore. And then you have like guys like Ricky Rubio, who every once in a while Blue Moon will turn in a good game and he just kind of stinks. I think he's completely washed. The NBA might just not be made for a guy like Ricky Rubio anymore, and it's kind of playing itself out, but they don't really have any other options. So if you want to give him 29 minutes, the Knicks are a very good matchup for opposing point guards. Jarrett Jack just plays just no defense. They don't want to play the rookie at all. So consider Rubio and then just know that you're probably not getting more than 30 minutes. All right, we're going to get out of here. We will be back again next week talking more basketball. Enjoy a big Friday night in the NBA, big Saturday as well. So just if you just get that on your radar, because that's not usually the case with Saturday night, but there is a pretty big slate of games going there tomorrow night. Buddy, talk to you again next week. Enjoy your basketball.